I am always a little concerned this time of year because every speaker and many shiurim and guest speakers, the one focus that we talk about is tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, maybe Yom Kippur, and a few, and sometimes we feel that we are overflowing with advice and with mussar about tshuva and this time of year. The forgotten chag, of course, becomes Sukkot. Sukkot, you kind of lose because there's only 5 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and so we don't have a lot of time. Lahavdil, I'm not comparing these, but one of the forgotten events is the Yom Kippur War. The Yom Kippur War, we spend a lot of time talking about the Six-Day War. The Yom Kippur War was what year? 1973. What day in the Jewish calendar did it break out on? Yom Kippur, yeah, it's called the Yom Kippur War. People who know history and people who know military history will tell you that the miracles and the hashkacha klalit that existed in the Yom Kippur War was greater, they feel, than the Six-Day War. Incredible? There's no parade for the Yom Kippur War. We don't wear blue and white. But I feel sometimes they all get cheated. And I'm going to follow in that because there is a piece that I want to share with you. But I do think that there's going to come a time in Yirtzeh Hashem soon where we're going to talk about something that's not tshuva. However, it is important to realize, of course, that we are in the season of tshuva. And tshuva is not just now. Tshuva is a year-long, and may I say, lifelong process. There's a great story of a Rebbe who met his Talmud. He hadn't seen him in a long time, or maybe a Rebbe who met a Talmud, didn't know him. And the Rebbe said to the Talmud, "Where are you learning?" And the Talmud says, "I'm learning in Eishat Torah, but I'm not about tshuva." He wanted him to make sure that he knew that he wasn't learning in a Baal Tshuva part of Eishat Torah. He was learning in the non-Baal Tshuva part of Eishat Torah. So he says, "Where are you learning?" "I'm learning in Eishat Torah, but not a Baal Tshuva." And the Rebbe says to him, "Why not? Why not? Why aren't you a Baal Tshuva? Don't we all need to do... What, are you perfect?" It's a great story. And it's true. And therefore, we all need to really pay attention to the lifelong process of tshuva. Rav Kook, and I'm not going to quote him every Sunday night, but tonight I am also. Rav Kook wrote a sefer, and he, in his own words, in a letter that he wrote to his son, expressed that he felt the most important work that he wrote is called Orot HaTshuva. And it's translated into English. It's very hard and challenging. And it's being translated slowly by some people also. And it's even for Israelis who know Hebrew well, it's a difficult Hebrew. And in Orot HaTshuva, this is in Perek Tet Zayin. In Perek Tet Zayin, in the very first part of Perek Tet Zayin, Rav Kook says that tshuva is lifelong. It's not just for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom Kippur, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Slichot. It's lifelong. It changes a person. As a footnote, by the way, those of you who have the zechut to be learning Al HaTshuva by Rabbi Soloveitchik, the first speech is on this topic also, about how real tshuva is not just Lach Lanu Avinu Ki Ana Shamnu Baganu. It's a life-altering process that changes the course of your future. And we talked earlier in the day about how we can do that, but we should do it in digestible pieces. But Rav Kook says one more idea. And Rav Kook says that one of the most important elements, keys to tshuva, is to recognize that the obligation to do tshuva and the responsibility to change my ways rests solely on me. I have the ability to modify my life. There's nobody else who I need. No human. It's me. It is on me. It is totally, completely on me. It reminds us of the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Jordaya. He's the one who did every Aveira in the world. He's the one who experienced every Zona in the world. And there was one Zona on the other side of the world. Remember this? And he expended a fortune to be with her until she, of all people in the world, says that Elazar ben Jordaya can't do tshuva. He's the one, remember, he begs the mountains and the skies. Remember this, Gemara? And finally, who does he? What does he say at the end? Say it out loud, yafeh, say it. Yafeh me'od. Ein hadavar talui ela bi. Ein hadavar talui ela bi. And that's what Rav Kook says is one of the most important keys to tshuva. It's not the act of tshuva, it is the key. Without the key, I can't even open the door. Once I open the door, I have a job called tshuva. I can't even open the door. If I am waiting for somebody else to open the door, who has the key, who has the key, then of course I can't do anything inside the house. But if I realize I fish inside my pocket, and I realize all along the key was in my pocket, then what a life I could have had if I realized that the key was there the whole time. In another place, and in another context, Rav Kook expands upon this idea. In order to understand this other place and other context, we're going to read a Gemara in Masechet Brachot Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. When you and I finish Shmona Esrei, and I believe it's all of us in this room, we say Yihyu L'Ratzon. Some people do, some people don't. Hamarechet Amo Yisrael B'Shalom. Then Yihyu L'Ratzon. Some people do, some people don't. And then we say Elokai. Mitzor Lishoni Meira. Right. But you should know that the Gemara in Brachot lists, I think it's about 10 ways that different rabbis ended their tefillah. We take one. Is there a person who doesn't have that in their nusach? It's in all of our nusach? Okay. The Gemara has 9 others that we choose not to use in certain sidurim. There's a siddur, the Vilna Gaon siddur, lists them at the end of davening, not at the end, maybe at the end of Shmoneh Esrei. One of those 9, so to speak, one of those other Elokais, we do say. We don't say it weekly. We don't say it daily. We say it on Rosh Hashanah, and we say it on Yom Kippur. And here's the Gemara, and we're going to say it in a few days. It goes like this. Rava, the Gemara is 4 lines. Batar Tzlute, after Rava Davin, Amar Hachi, he used to say the following. You guys are going to recognize this. Elokai, ad shelo notzarti, eini chadai. I'm going to read the Gemara according to the Pashut Pshat, not according to Rav Kook. Rava, Agad, line 1, until I was created, I wasn't fit to be created. V'yachshav shenotzarti, and now that I was created, ke'ilu lo notzarti. And now that I was created, God, it's as if I wasn't created. I didn't do anything with my life. Afar ani b'chayai, kal v'chomer b'mitati. It's a very painful tefillah. I'm not saying it's not. It's shocking. It's a really challenging tefillah to say. I was dust when I was alive, certainly after I die. Hare ani lefanecha kichli male busha uchlima. I'm ashamed. God, you gave me a job, I didn't do it. You gave me a life, I didn't use it properly. Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokai. Shelo echata od. Beginning of line 3. Uma shechatati lefanecha, that which I did sin. Marek, that's not machek, it's marek berachamecha harabim, cleanse me with your ultimate mercy. Aval lo al yadei yisurin v'chalayim rayim. And the last 2 words, this is not part of the prayer. This is the Gemara saying, the Hainu Vidui. This is, I'll add a word, a type of Vidui. We paskin that you have to be mefarate the sin, but this is the beginning of Vidui. I recognize that I didn't live my life, have not yet, recently, lived my life the way you, God, wanted me to live. That's the way the Pashup shot. Rav Kook wrote a perush to the sitter called Olat Ri'ya or Olat Re'aya. It's a play on words. Because there is a korban that you and I are going to bring this year, Mir Tzashem on Sukkot, called the Olat Ri'ya. We bring an Ola when we come and see the Shechina in the korba, in the Beit HaMikdash. But he called his sitter the Olat Ri'aya. Why? What does Ri'aya stand for? Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen. Isn't that beautiful? So he wrote a page on the Siddur. It's two volumes. We have it. It's in the Siddur section. We have it right here. And in this, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I can point out a couple of things if you're interested in learning. Beautiful. Well, in the second volume, he has his machzer for Yom Kippur. And on this, because we say it in davening, this tefillah that we don't say during the week, we do say, and listen to what the Rav Kook says, and this is among the more well-known Rav Kooks, and if you know it, we'll call it Chazara. And if you don't know it, I consider it a privilege that I'm able to share it with you. And then you will know it. I quote my good friend Rabbi Shalom Rasner, who you may know, who says, it's a famous Gemara, and if it's not famous, we'll make it famous. So maybe I'll quote him and say, it's a famous Rav Kook, and if it's not famous, we'll make it famous. Elokai line 1. Elokai ad shalo notzarti eini chadai. V'achshav shenotzarti ki'ilu lo notzarti. Says Rav Kook differently than we understood the Gemara. Lifnei shenotzarti, before I was born. I'm looking for a volunteer. Does anybody mind being a volunteer and telling me when their birthday is? Well, it's called the English birthday. Do you mind, Michelle? When's your birthday?
July 10th.
July 10th. What year?
1997.
Beautiful. Do you mind if I use you as an example, Michelle? Okay, thank you. July 10th, 1997. Says Michelle, we won't use in the second half, the first half. Says Michelle, Leaf Nation, no, sorry, July 9th, 1997, July 9th, 1996, July 9th, 1995, the year 1500, the year 1280, the year 1492. You're not born then, right? You're not born then? Leaf Nation, no, sorry, Kol Hazman, Kol Oto Hazman, line 2. Habilti Mugbal, that's entire. Unlimited time, Shemeolam, Ad Shenotzarti. The 5,700 and what year were you born? I guess I don't know. 5,700, probably 60, whatever. Yeah, 58. Is that when you were born? Something like that. The 5,700 years before she was born. Vaday lo haya davar ba'olam shehaya tzarich li. The world did not need Michelle. She volunteered to be a volunteer. The world did not need Michelle at the American Revolution. The world did not need Michelle in the Six-Day War. The world did not need Michelle during the Crusades. It wasn't needed. All those times she was not needed. Ki im hayiti chaser bishvil ezo tachlit v'hashlama. Because if I had been missing and therefore I needed for the Six-Day War, or Christopher Columbus, or the Russian Revolution, if she was needed, Haiti no tsar. God runs the world. And if he needed Michelle in 1492, we would never have met her, you and I. She would have been born in 1492. If it was Michelle, it wouldn't have been Christopher Columbus that made a mistake. He probably would have gotten it correctly. He would have, but obviously Hashem had a reason. Columbus didn't discover America, right? I mean, there were people there when he got there. But as far as he's concerned, he did. Michelle wasn't needed. V'kevan shelo notzarti, and since Michelle had not been born, created, ad oto zman hu'ot. It is a sign. Shelo hayiti kedai ad az lihibarot. I wasn't even needed. July 9th, 1997, did not need a world where Michelle existed. Didn't need it. Didn't need it. Velo haya bitzorech Ki im la'et kazot shenivreti. And I had no need in this universe until July 10th, 1997. That's it. Can you imagine? Everybody has a birthday here. The day before you were born, the world did not need you. And the minute, God runs the world. The minute you were born, there was a need. When you were born, to whom you were born, the financial circumstances, the political circumstances, geographically where you were born, God needed you at that very moment. In Michelle's case, she was needed on July 10th, 1997. And by the way, if I asked her, do you know what time you were born? Do you know? 2 a.m. We'll call it 2 a.m. for the sake of argument. At 1:59 a.m. There was no need. 1:59 a.m. July 10th, 1997, it wasn't needed. 2 a.m., boom. It's incredible. Mipnei shehagi'ah hasha'ah she'ani tzarich lemalei eize davar lahashlamat ha'metziyus. When I was born, it was because I was needed to lahashlamat ha'metziyus, to perfect, to complete that existence. Ve'ilu hayiti miyached ma'asai. And now I'm not talking about Michelle anymore. And if this person, not Michelle, ve'ilu hayiti miyached ma'asai el tachlit briyati, hineni achshav kedai. And had I really used my life properly, there was a reason that I was born at that minute, at that time, in that place, to those parents, then hope, too bad. And this is the vidui piece of this. I didn't fully get there. And my job now, as Rav Kook understands this vidui, as Rav Kook understands the way I finish every tefillah on Yom Kippur, Ma'ariv, and Shacharit, and Musaf, and Mincha, and Ne'ilah, all end in this way. What a scary thing. But what a liberating and invigorating. The fact that I am needed. There's a reason why I'm here. I am a kli male busha uchlima that I haven't fulfilled it. But I also know that I can fulfill it. Because if I couldn't fulfill it, why was I born? The day that I was born, God had a plan for me. The day that you were born, God had a plan for you. And our job is to understand it. It's a lifelong idea. It's a lifelong process to figure out what my tafkid in the world is. And don't confuse tafkid with profession. They're not always the same thing. They're not the same thing. But my job in the world. And my job in the world doesn't have to become president of Israel. And my job in the world doesn't have to be general of the world armies. My job in the world could be to raise my family in this city, in that place, at that time, in this way, with those challenges. That's my job. And if without me, there would be no family, and etc. Rabbi Soloveitchik takes this step. He quotes Rav Kook. And he takes it one step further. And that's the title of the shir. Look at the bottom of the page. There's a beautiful sefer that summarizes a lot of the ideas that Rabbi Soloveitchik discusses on Yom Nerayim. And it's called Yemei Zikaron. The first chapter in Yemei Zikaron is a title called Shlichut. And this is on page 11, line 1, in line 1 here. Et ha'uvda, the very fact, Shemishu chai bizman misuyam. He just finished quoting the Rav Kook that I just quoted. This very fact that somebody lives at a unique, specific time, bitzkufa miyuchedet, in a certain period, in a certain era, uvimkom mugdar, you live in this city, you travel a little here, a little there, but you never went there, v'lo nolad bitzkufa acheret. The very fact that that person in line 2 was not born somewhere else, some other time, ubenesibot acherot, with other circumstances. The only way we can understand that, nuchal lehavin, ach v'rak, im nekabel et etzem hara'ayon bidavar shlichuto shel adam. The only way that you can understand this and believe it, if you believe in the concept of shlichut. Shlichut. Rabbi Soloveitchik, as he often does, if you've never been exposed, this is one of his classic styles. Rabbi Soloveitchik learns his world through the lens of halacha. Rabbi Soloveitchik is the halachic man. And he sees everything with glasses of halacha. And we have a halacha called shlichut. I can send a shaliach to go do something for me. He can sell chametz for me. He can write a pruzbol for me, which you and I are going to discuss in a few days. He can write a pruzbol for me. I don't want to talk about myself, but a man can send a shaliach to divorce his wife. A man can send a shaliach to marry his wife. A person can send a shaliach to pay back. All shlichut. Shlucho shel adam kimoto. And what is the pure halacha of shlichut? The only way shlichut works halachically. Rabbi Soloveitchik always starts in halacha, almost always, but then he sees a world of beauty. Halacha is beautiful also, through halacha. If I send a shliach to marry that woman, and she is on the moon, a few jokes there. Will he find her? No, he can't get to the moon. Guess what? There's no such thing as shlichut then. He's not a shaliach. He's not a shaliach who failed. He is simply not a shaliach. Should I repeat that? There is a shaliach who can fail. I ask Rebecca, please pay Akira the $100 I owe her. And Rebecca, please excuse me for using you as an example, pockets the money. She was a shaliach, but she failed. And there are repercussions. She had every opportunity to pay back Akira because she's sitting right there, but she just didn't do it. That's not this. I want you to pay this money back to Akira in 5 minutes. Guess what? Yakira's in Toronto. What's the answer? It's not that Rebecca failed in her mission. She never became a shaliach. You follow? Rabbi Soloveitchik says that is exactly about you and me. We are shlichim. We are messengers. We've got a job. And the only way we can believe that God made me a messenger or made Michelle a messenger on July 10th, 1997 to fulfill what she needs to fulfill in this world is if she's able. Is if she's able. Because if she's unable, like going to marry somebody on the moon or getting from here to Toronto in 5 minutes, if you're unable, there is no halachic shlichut. Done. No such thing. You made it up. It's fake. It's false. It dissolves. But if Rebecca has the ability to pay back Yakira, then she's a shaliach. Now the question is, will she work properly? Will she fulfill the job that she was given? And that, says Rav Kook, and that, says Rav Soloveitchik, is the job. These time of year and our whole life. To recognize that we have a job. We have a tafkid in this world. And everyone does. And I can promise you that everyone does. You know how I know that? Because I'm looking at you and you were born. One of you was born July 10th. Anybody else? Okay. One of you was born July 10th. Other people were born on different days. But everybody here was born. Everybody here was created not in 1492, and not in 1290, and not in 610, and not in 78 or 68, but 1997. Or 6 or 8, I don't know when you were born exactly. And since you were born, it means you're a shaliach. And if you're a shaliach, it means that God has a job for you. And not only that, it means you can do it. Because if you couldn't do it, you wouldn't be born. I couldn't do the shlichut of correcting Christopher Columbus when he was trying to travel somewhere else. Why couldn't I? Well, I don't know why I couldn't, but I wasn't born then. And therefore, it's a proof that I wasn't needed and I couldn't do it. There was no shaliach. But the day that I was born, I had a job. And I'm spending my life trying to figure out what that job is. It's a process. It's not a one-year job, guys. It's a 120-year job. And that's exactly the way Rav Kook understands this Gemara. Elokai, ad shalo notzarti eini chadai, I wasn't even needed. that the day I was born, I was needed. And our job in Mirtzah Hashem now and forever is to figure out what that job is. My bracha to you and my bracha to me is that we surround ourselves with people that can help us fulfill our mission this year and every year in Mirtzah Hashem.